your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. I want to begin reading basically verse 6 to the end of the chapter. Excuse me. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is Isaiah writing the words of the Lord. This is what God said. And it does say, in verse 6, I started there purposely, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. This is a verse people will throw at you. See, it says seek the Lord. And it's told in the same spirit as na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. See, what you say is wrong, because it says seek the Lord. Well, yes, it does. They seem to have the attitude, and they seem to have this thought in their head that God will not ask someone to do anything they cannot do. And I like what Bruce Crabtree said about that. I don't know of a place in the scripture where God asked anybody to do anything. God commands. This is not a request. This is a command. And God has never commanded us to do anything we could do without his work first. He's very clear we cannot come to him. He's very clear we will not come to him. But he's also very clear, it says, seek ye the Lord. But very clearly also, it says, seek ye the Lord. Who's he talking to here? Verse 1, back it up just a little bit. He's talking to those who are thirsty. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Seek ye the Lord. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, he that hath no money. Come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 3, he's referring to, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Who inclines their ear? Well, first part, those that are thirsty. Second part, those whose ears have been circumcised. Those that are thirsty, those that incline their ear, come unto me. If you can incline your ear, you're not stiff-necked. You're not uncircumcised in heart and ears. And it says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Then verse 5, right before verse 6, seek the Lord. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. And for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee. Nations that knew not thee have been running for a long time. They're just not running to God. People run everywhere, but they don't run to God. Walter's been reading it. When it comes the last time, and said they're going to run for the rocks and the mountains and call for them to hide them from the Lamb that's coming, his wrath. They run. They don't run to God. But those that are thirsty, those that incline the ear that God has given them, those that he has called will seek him. Seek ye the Lord, and call ye upon him while he is near. And they run to the Lord because of the Lord, and for the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified thee. Christ has glorified the Father. Then it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Men only seek the Lord after he has called them. Yeah. Men only incline their ear and hear after the Lord has called them. And men only run to him after he has called them. Acts 2:39 puts it this way, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He calls, we answer. That's how we become we. That's how we find out we're us and not them. We used to be just like them. There was no difference as far as I could see. Now, I do believe that God's people are sheep even when they're lost, just like the scriptures tell. He's come to seek and to find that which is lost. He's come to find his lost sheep, and he finds them, and he calls them, and they come, and they seek, and no one else does. They'll run, but they won't run to him. They'll run, but they won't run to the Lord. But those that the Lord has called shall run to him. Because of him. This next statement Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. That's a tall order. Except for the call of God. It's impossible with man. The Lord is the only one who can change a leopard's spots. Jeremiah 13:23 put it this way, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." With man, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. The Lord calls, and we answer. The Lord gives life, and we have life. The Lord gives eyes and ears and a heart to understand, and we hear, and we see, and we understand. And without it, we're deaf and blind and dead. Those that the Lord calls will run to him when they incline their ear and they hear. Then this is the part that I got stuck on and got thinking about. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And I made a list here. And it started with my thoughts, because that's the easy one. I know more about my thoughts than I really want to know some days. I'm far more familiar with my thoughts than I am the thoughts of God. Although I wish it wasn't the truth. It is. But I started a list here. Number one, my thoughts are earthly. I don't know much about the heavenly, but my thoughts are earthly. They concern earthly things. My thoughts have to do with my circumstance. My feelings, my mood right now, my health, sometimes just pain. My thoughts are sometimes just plain fiction, mere imagination. Boy, I wish this was so. Or why can't this be this way? Why can't this be that way? Which goes back to my circumstance and goes back to being earthly. This is what I have to deal with in my life. And my thoughts are limited by my mind, which means basically they're scattered half the time. My thoughts are not good. My thoughts are limited by my depravity, which I still have. You know, it says, out of the abundance of the heart the man speaketh, even though it's not as abundant. My heart's still there. That depraved heart's still there. My thoughts are singular. I can only do one thing at a time, if I'm lucky. And sometimes my thoughts are just plain mean, wicked, and nasty. A lot of times my thoughts are worse than what I say. And sometimes what I say is too bad. I shouldn't have said it. And my thoughts are often too slow. I think of a perfect reply for somebody about a half hour later sometimes. And my thoughts are often too vengeful. because I want to hurt back when I've been hurt. Because my thoughts are human thoughts, which means sometimes they're just plain wrong. But God's thoughts are perfect. I have that down as number one and number two. His thoughts are perfect. Where do you go from there? I don't know perfect. But God is perfection. He is never wrong. I don't understand everything or even close. But God is never wrong. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Oh yeah. Yeah. Because God's thoughts are right. God's thoughts are holy. God's thoughts are nonfiction. God's not making up stories. God's not making up falsehoods. My capacity for self-delusion is in here, in my mind. God's nothing like that. His thoughts are faster than lightning. His thoughts are light. His thoughts are love. His thoughts are judgment. His thoughts are beautiful. His thoughts are power and might and glory. His thoughts are higher. His thoughts are better. And his thoughts are reality. My thoughts have to do with the way I perceive my world. Whether wrong or right, true or false, in a capacity of honesty or a capacity of self-deception, my thoughts are how I interpret this world. His thoughts are what made this world. His thoughts are reality. If the Lord thinks it, it happens. If he speaks it, it's because he thought it and he has willed it, and his word shall not return unto him void. His thoughts are like his word. They accomplish his pleasure according to his good will. His ways are better, just like his thoughts. They're perfect. His ways are higher. My ways have a tendency to come down to selfishness. God's ways are all right and righteous and holy and just and good. His ways are not determined by circumstance, neither are his thoughts. His ways are the circumstance, just like his thoughts. His ways are always right, perfect, and holy, and my ways are none of the above. God's ways are exactly like his thoughts. The Lord acts exactly the way he thinks. I can't do that. With my thoughts, I don't want to do that. I have a bad habit of thinking one way and acting another. Or saying one thing and doing another. God's thoughts and his ways are singular. He is doing all of his pleasure. He is doing all of his will. And he does not have to bite his tongue to keep from saying something wrong. There's no wrong in him. There's plenty of wrong in me. Because if I see a problem with his ways or his thoughts, the problem's me. It's not him. The problem's me. If I have a problem with this book, the problem is with me, not with him, not with his thoughts, not with his ways, not with his words. And he says this, that my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither my ways your ways. After speaking of the wicked forsaking his way and the unrighteous forsaking his thoughts. Because his thoughts and ways are better than ours. And God will do all of his pleasure. In the Psalms it says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And that's what it means. He is working out. He is working this world exactly the way he wants to. It is all according to his will and his good pleasure. Because God delights in loving kindness. God delights in righteousness, and God delights in judgment. That's scripture. Jeremiah 9 and verse 24 says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God delights in these things. He delights in loving kindness. It also says in Jeremiah, it is said unto me of old, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and in loving kindness I have drawn thee. God delights in loving kindness, in drawing his people, in the wicked forsaking his way, and forsaking his thoughts, the unrighteous man. God delights in loving kindness to draw his people to him, to himself. God delights in these things because he is loving kindness. He is righteousness and he is judgment. Walter, you read it not too long ago. It says, talking about wisdom, but it's referring to Christ. I was with him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. God delights to show mercy. God delights to pardon. And God delights in his grace and in showing his grace to his people. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His ways are better. They are higher. They are better. If it was up to me, I'm probably of the persuasion where I'd save my friends and damn my enemies. God has delighted in loving kindness, to show mercy to his enemies. We were enemies in our own hearts. The carnal mind is enmity against God. But he has given us life. He thought to do it. He said it. He called us by name. And he calls us unto himself. And his people do run to him when he calls them. Deuteronomy 10 and 15 says this, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. The Lord's delight, the Lord's thoughts, the Lord's ways has the exact result that he wants it to have. He loved thy fathers, and he chose their seed after them. And the next verse after that is actually one I read last week. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. All things work together for good to them that love God and them that love God are those whom he first loved. We love him because he first loved us, and it is in that order. And I gotta quit. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper whereto I sent it. God's thoughts are perfect. God's ways are perfect. Because God is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. He is almighty. And I like what that means. He's got all might. Which is good because I have none. I have none. And it was without strength. That's the way I was. And what Earl said, not weak, without strength. That's okay. He's almighty. I don't have to have any. He's all-powerful. Good, because I don't have any power. He's all-righteous, all-good, and all-holy. That's exactly what I need and exactly what I don't have in myself. But his word, when it goes out, when he says and calls by name, life is there. That word from him, every word from him, but that word has the effect. And you will be thirsty. You will incline your ear. You will hear. That's irresistible grace. His word, his work, you're the result. We're the result. It's none of it's our work. It's all his. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this time and this place, but most of all thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave himself, took upon him our sins, our transgressions, and offered himself to you as the perfect sacrifice, which you have accepted, and you have accepted us in him, in whose name we pray. Amen.